This is the Old Trailblazer Broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis once again, bringing you another study from God's Word on the Old Trailblazer Broadcast. And we want to tell you folks how we appreciate coming into your homes, your automobiles, your 18-wheelers, or many of those places where you hear this message. And we're happy to be with you. We've gone on some new stations, so I wish you would, if you would, hearing me for the first few times, I wish you'd write me and let me know that you're listening or that you heard the Old Trailblazer. I have folks do that. They said, Trailblazer, I heard you way up here in Baltimore, Maryland. I heard you way out here in Kentucky or Kansas or somewhere. I was on an old 18-wheeler driving across Kansas out there, and I picked you up. So I wish you'd do that. Stop at the next truck stop trucker, if you would, and let me know where you hear me from. And also, if you can put out booklets in some of those truck stops, have little racks where you can leave religious material, and I'll be glad to send those to you. Tracks, good sound tracks, giving out the gospel. Folks like to do that, so I'll be glad to do that for you. Send them to you free and postpaid. We're looking at this study in the revelation of Jesus Christ, and we were looking there at the church in Thyatira. The Lord was had much to say there about the church in Thyatira, and we were talking about how he hated the women preachers, how he condemned this church for allowing Jezebel, so to speak. And we come on down now, and Christ said, "All the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and heart." He's quoting there from Jeremiah 17:9, "As the Son of God with eyes of fire, I search the reins and hearts of men. I know their awful condition. I know their fit subject for hell. I know they're guilty before God. God is not mocked." According to Galatians 6, everything is naked before his eyes. And listen, "I will give unto every one of you according to your works," as he said in Revelation 20:12. We'll get to that for long. "And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works." Born again believers are not judged according to their works, because they're under the blood, according to Romans 8:1. The judgment due us fell on Christ. On Calvary's cross, the believer's substitute. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Would you do that, folks? Would you just thank the Lord? If you're saved, if you know the Lord, do you thank him? Do you thank him every day that salvation is of the Lord? I ask my folks here in my local congregation, I tell them sometimes, often, when you get up in the morning after a good night's rest, put your feet on the floor, whether it be carpet or concrete. Put your feet there. Sit on the side of the bed for just a moment or two and thank the Lord that he woke you up breathing, that he gave you the night, and that he brought you into a new day. Did you know that folks don't thank the Lord? You get up, get your breakfast, go out in the hurly-burly business world, whatever, and you never thank the Lord. Come in at night, tired, weary, after a hard day, strenuous day, flop down in your chair in front of a TV, and maybe mama brings you a tray with little groceries on it, little food, and you fall off to sleep. In a little while, she wakes you up and says, "Go to bed, go to bed." And you get up and go to bed, start all over again, and you haven't even thanked the Lord. Or maybe you spent the night out somewhere in revelry, and the Lord has kept you. You know, we living in a dangerous world today. The laws don't know what to do. The law officials are frustrated. They don't know how to stop it. It's all because of sin. Listen now, my friend. It's going to be an awful day when our Lord comes, and those who will not have the truth, folks won't have the truth. Many, many I know won't have the truth. And who would not separate themselves from the world, many I know run after the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And they're just taken up with everything, taken up with something. It may not even be sinful, but they're just taken up with it. And they give all of their time there. But it will be a terrible day to go into the great tribulation when there'll be no hope. No hope. We used to have a man here who sung occasionally, and he had a song, "No More Mercy." Then there'll be no more mercy. Oh, but they'll become fit subjects for the Antichrist and will receive the mark on their forehead, which seals them for hell forever, according to Revelation 13. Now let's turn to verse 24. But unto you I say, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden. There are two groups in this church. One group followed the pastor's wife, listened to her tell about the visions and dreams and experiences that she had had, about her new revelations. We hear so much of that today. Oh, I have a lady came in here in the bookstore the other day telling me about her out-of-body experience. My friend, you say, well, Pastor, you should have rebuked her. Did you know I stood there with my mouth open, listening to the depths of Satan, listening to this woman talk about her out-of-body experience, and it was nothing but the demons of hell. Oh, listen, we hear them talk about the deeper life. That's what she did. The great spiritual life of the mysteries of God. God called it the depths of Satan. And as they speak, listen now, he called all this new revelation, visions, dreams, a life of mystery, which they said they were living, and the deeper walk with God. He called it the depths of Satan. We have individuals now who call themselves dream interpreters and vision interpreters, and folks flock there and call them on their radio show and thinking that they're men of God. My friend, when all of those things are the depths of Satan. This woman claimed to speak with authority, saying that God had called her as a special prophetess to give forth this new revelation, and Christ would say to her, you are an emissary of hell, demon-possessed, satanically controlled, and your breath is the very breath of torment. I have nothing to do with you, my friend. Let me tell you something. Let me give you a little tidbit here. The Lord doesn't speak to anyone verbally, audibly. The Lord has not spoken audibly since the canon of the scriptures were closed, my friend. You know how you communicate with God? Through His holy word, the holy Bible, the book written by the finger of God. And now is being watered down and whittled away and misjudged and mishandled and changed around and new translations and all of these things. Now they have the NIV Bible, which is nothing but a tool of Satan. They have the African American Women Bible. They have all of those things, my friend, dozens and dozens of them. But listen, the other group in that church was a group who had rejected this so-called new revelation that the pastor's wife was speaking of, and they were following the Lord. The Lord said to them, I will put upon you none other burden. What then is this burden that he's talking about? It is a truth as once for all delivered unto them. Listen now. Christ would say to them, do not be led away by any new mystery, new revelation that they may claim to have received from me. Brother Spurgeon one morning said that he was beginning to mount his pulpit or to get ready to go into his pulpit. One of his ladies came to him kind of hurriedly and said, Pastor Spurgeon, the Lord gave me a message for you. And he said he turned quietly to her and he said, lady, the Lord just gave me a message for you. He said for you to go sit down and shut up. Rebuked her, my friend, because the Lord doesn't give a message to nobody for the pastor. He doesn't give anybody a message for anyone. Oh, no. Listen, my friend. Listen, Christ would say to those folks here, don't be led away by those things. Listen, don't turn away from the simplicity that's in Christ. You are complete in me. According to Colossians 2:10, you need no other. My friend, how far have we departed from the great old landmark truth of our present day church life? Christ is the all-sufficient one. According to 2 Corinthians 12, Christ is our life. Christ is our salvation. Christ is our bread. Christ is our water of life. Christ is our deliverer. Christ is our rock. Christ is our foundation. Christ is the shadow of a rock in a weary land. Christ is our high tower. Christ is our protection. Would you get these names? Many, many of them, my friend. I could give them all to you. It's Christ. Christ, the eternal security or the surety. Christ plus nothing, minus nothing. Friends, I'm perfectly happy, perfectly satisfied with my Lord. Folks used to tell Pastor Shelton, he was a great preacher, a great man of God, and folks would tell him, say, Pastor, I believe that you saved. I believe you're a great preacher. I hear you, but, and he'd say, wait a minute now. Don't butt me. They'd say, but you need to speaking in tongues. You need to be received. He said, no, I'm just as far as I want to go. Christ, I'm a child of God. I need nothing else. I don't need anything else. No, but folks wanted to have that deeper life, visions and dreams and experiences and emotion. This is all in the realm of which Satan lived in and moves now and controls the vast majority. Would you get that? The vast majority of religious people in the world today are controlled and motivated and led by Satan through his pastors. Did you know Satan has his pastors, emissaries? Just because a fella's got his coat collar turned around backwards, or just because he's got a little lapel pin with pastor on it, that doesn't mean anything, my friend. I asked you often, you folks who go to church on Sunday, ask your pastor kindly, Pastor, one day, one Sunday, one Lord's day, take the 11 o'clock service after the music is over and tell us how the Lord saved you. The old trailblazer said he can tell you how the Lord saved him. It doesn't take long. Oh, he says that he was awakened to his lost condition back there years ago and shown that he was a sinner, a great sinner, and that the Holy Spirit dealt with his heart in kindness and in mercy, and he began to see that he was a fit subject for hell, and the Lord brought him down, down, down at the foot of Christ and gave him, permitted him to repent of all of those things. And he said the Lord saved him. The Lord revealed to him that he died for sinners. And he was that sinner that Christ died for. Pastor, would you take the 11 o'clock service and tell us here? We've never heard you say how the Lord saved you. You just came here from some other church up there somewhere. And we don't know. We just assumed. We just assuming this and assuming that. But tell us what the Lord means to you. We'd like to know. We need to be fed, we need to be led, and we need to know that we're serving under a faithful and true pastor who knows the Lord. We asked you, Pastor, tell us what the Lord means to you. And if you would, you write me, folks, and I'll send you that book, Christ, a Living Reality, the reality of Christ, and you can give your pastor one of them. And maybe it will bless his heart. That's what we want to do. Just ask him kindly and then pray for him that the Lord would lead him and guide him to teach you the way of grace, the way of grace day by day, that you might, your children may come to know the Lord. We don't depend on the Sunday school classes and decision days. No, salvation is of the Lord, not of the Sunday school, not of shaking the preacher's hand, not of making a decision, not being a member of some church. Don't matter what church it is, little, big, or middle size. Don't matter if it has a tall steeple or stained glass windows. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter a bit, my friend. What matters is, are you saved? Do you know the Lord? Is Christ real to you? Is he real to you? Can you tell someone how the Lord saved you? Or do you just tell them, well, I go down here to Brother So-and-so's church. We have a great Sunday school class there, and I just go to Sunday school and leave. Soon as the Sunday school is over, I don't care to hear the pastor, but I love the Sunday school teacher. I've heard folks say that hundreds of times. Remember, my mailing address is the old Trailblazer, Post Office Box 1810, Walker, Louisiana 70785, and my website, radiomissions.org. And goodbye, and God bless you.
The Radio Bible and Book Room is a nonprofit ministry of the First Baptist Church of Algiers in connection with Radio Missions. We offer over 1,500 titles of early Puritan, Baptist, and Reformed works, including commentaries, sermons, devotionals, gifts, children's products, and a variety of King James Study Bibles in regular, large, and giant print. For an online catalog and information about the Radio Bible and Book Room, visit our website at radiomissions.org.